This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. From Dallas to Buffalo and beyond, millions of Americans have converged on the 15 states in the path of today's total solar eclipse.
I mean, none of us have ever seen this before, so we're kind of looking to just see what it's all about, enjoy the good atmosphere in Buffalo. I heard it's a great time here, so we're going to have a couple drinks, and we're going to see what the city offers.
This is Alan Skaya at Cotton Bowl Stadium in Dallas. A day-long festival is taking place here called Sun, Moon, and You. NASA's Joe Westlake says they'll be taking pictures during the eclipse, so we urges you to put the phone down and just watch.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of event.
They're expecting 30,000 people just at this watch party. Dallas Police Chief Eddie Garcia says none of his officers have the day off.
The public should be prepared for increased traffic and delays. We expect that freeways and major arterials will be heavily impacted by the influx of people into our city.
Dallas is expecting up to 400,000 visitors.
But will it rain on the solar parade? Clouds are forecast along much of the path of totality. The Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams says don't give up hope yet.
I saw an eclipse in 99. It was cloudy. I'm telling you, dark clouds. And for totality, the clouds parted. We saw totality, and then the clouds closed up again. So I'm saying there's a chance.
Israel says it's withdrawing its troops from Khan Yunis in southern Gaza, regrouping for a possible assault on Rafah, the last big Hamas stronghold, but where 1.4 million civilians are also sheltering. More from the BBC's Hugo Bachega in Jerusalem.
The big question here is about what is going to happen in Rafah, because the Israelis have been saying that it is essential to launch a major offensive into Rafah. This is where they say Hamas still has four active units, and they say that it is imperative to enter Rafah to destroy those units and to be able to claim victory.
In the southeastern African nation of Mozambique, more than 90 people have drowned after their overloaded ferry sank. Children are among the dead. Many of the passengers were fleeing false reports of a cholera outbreak. Actor Jonathan Majors is set to hear his sentence today, 4 months after he was convicted of assaulting his ex-girlfriend. Basketball. And the University of South Carolina has won the NCAA Women's College Basketball Tournament with an 87-75 win over the University of Iowa's Hawkeyes. Iowa guard Caitlin Clark had nothing but praise.
South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do. I mean, Cardoso has 17 rebounds. They have 51 as a team. We have 29. Like, hard to win a basketball game like that. You basically got to shoot perfect at that point.
The Gamecocks haven't lost a game since last year's tournament when they were knocked out of the Final Four by the Hawkeyes. This is the second straight year the University of Iowa was national runner-up. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin has redesigned its website in hopes of boosting enrollment. The new wisconsin.edu makes information about enrollment and degree programs easier to find. It's the latest effort by the UW system to boost enrollment after nearly a decade of declines. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is giving $22 million to farmers who practice rotational grazing. Kevin Mahalko is a dairy farmer in Gilman. He says rotational grazing has helped him survive difficult stretches and keeps his costs down.
The cow is doing more of the work and using fencing instead of as much equipment. It cuts down on a lot of repairs and maintenance and diesel fuel.
The deadline to apply for the grants is May 26th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose at home again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks went into halftime with an 11-point lead and still lost to the Knicks 122-109. The Bucks have now lost four in a row. Is it a lack of effort? Damian Lillard.
If you let teams start to believe and feel good about themselves, runs happen. You know, I think that's kind of been the story of these last, you know, four or five, six games. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better.
The Bucks host the number one seed Celtics tomorrow night. Baseball, the Brewers bashed the Mariners 12-4 to win the series. A home run for Willie Adames, two home runs for William Contreras. So what did they ask the jokester, Pat Murphy, after the game?
You know, Adam McKelvey in the third row. With all those close games to start the year, how nice is it to happen where you score early and maybe everybody can just breathe a little?
That's a really shitty question.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WAUK Weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield. Stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
A few scattered clouds through around midday today, then mostly sunny this afternoon. We'll get to 62 today with wind out of the southwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, a sprinkle or two, otherwise partly cloudy, 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 60. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 58. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Where we have a full house today. We've got meteorologist Brittany Merlot coming up in just a sec. Reporter Selena Heller from Up North News. Dr. Kristen Lyerly talks about her brand new race for Congress. And apparently some garden talk coming in, whether you want it or not. Greg Box standing by in Waukesha.
Hello.
In a show, I think we're going to have to title Totally Clips of the Travel Plans, because people have been trying to get to that swath of the U.S. where you could see a total eclipse today, but cloud cover is going to make that a challenge in many parts. But that is not stopping Brittany Merlot one bit, who traveled somewhere. Are you like in the path of totality, Brittany?
I am pretty close to it. I'm about an hour north because I wanted to avoid the traffic, to be honest with you. Okay. The traffic out there has been insane. If you look at maps too, I was looking at Airbnbs, mm-hmm. all of them through the path of totality are booked.
Yeah, somebody put out a really cool map about Airbnb or VRBO bookings, and you know, represented the ones that were taken up by red dots and the available ones in green. And you just see that path of totality in, you know, the Airbnbs that are already taken. So are you like, you're clearly not in a cardboard box somewhere in Illinois. You did find a place to go.
I did find a place. My family's down here, so we are good to go. I'm so excited. It's clear down here, and actually a good chunk of southern Wisconsin should see some partial clearing as we go through this afternoon, right during that time frame. But northwest Wisconsin, up towards Superior, Eau Claire, even Wausau, there's a good chance you're going to see clouds sticking around, limiting what you can see out there this afternoon, unfortunately. But down to the south, Kenosha, Milwaukee, you're going to be at an 80 to 90% totality, and you're going to see some clearing. So make sure you have those glasses, get out there this afternoon. But otherwise, today, we're just seeing those scattered rain showers rolling across northwest Wisconsin. Those will kick on out of here after 10 o'clock this morning, and then we're just trying to get those clouds out of here. That's all we've got today.
So would you say then that it for people that want to watch it, if a coworker, say, were to bring in a box of these eclipse sunglasses, that would make them a good person, right?
Oh, 100%.
That'd make them like a hero.
Yes, like Greg.
Yes, like Greg. Yes.
You see, when Brittany says it, I feel the warmth and the, you know, the meaning behind it. When Pat does it, just empty. There's an emptiness to those words. That just feels like I
would appreciate it, Greg.
Thank you very much, Selena. I appreciate you.
Well, thanks. Aww. I would wear them. I would wear like 10 pairs just so they would get worn.
Well, I hope people use them. I mean, they're. I'm not taking them home.
Why not?
Save them for the next one.
I'm just watching you guys carry this thing without me. See how that works out for you. But no, it's.
We did pretty well last week, Greg.
You actually
boom high five.
Literally did. for you there.
Nice.
Low five.
All right, Brittany, you stay safe with the viewing. Can't wait to hear how it turned out tomorrow.
Yes, thank you. Have a good one, everyone.
Yep, you have a great day on this. What is today, along with Eclipse Day? This is National Zoo Lovers Day. This is National Feng Shui Day. This National Baby Massage Day. Kids Yoga Day. And Trading Cards Are for Grownups Day. Who wants to bite on that, whether trading cards are really for grownups or not? See, I didn't know if Greg was going to pipe in and say that he had something. Like, do they have Greg. Like comic trading cards or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Right. You know what's been a big thing lately is pilot cards. I've been flying a lot, and pilots have cards that have like their plane on them. And yeah, I know one of my sons asks every time we fly for their card. I saw a grown man approach a pilot in an airport to get a card. It was delightful.
Meanwhile, I'm just thinking about planes falling apart midair. I'm like, maybe spend the money on something else.
Not cards.
Yeah. No.
So Selena, you're doing a little eclipse work for us for Up North News.
Oh, yeah. So details of that eclipse starts anywhere like in Wisconsin, 12:50. Peak is like 2:08 and then goes till like 3:23. So if you're keeping an eye to the sky, not really an eye to the sky, you know, where
yeah, we know what you mean. Through Greg's very generous glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And, you know, if you're driving, the DOT says, you know, pull over, it's going to be dark. So turn on your headlights. So they give some advice, but where we're going to be watching all across the country. I was disappointed. I called Emory's school and asked if they were going to. I thought maybe I would go there and get video of them, you know, doing something. And they're not. None of the elementary school kids are going to be allowed to go out.
Well, I suppose.
Liability.
Yes.
In case they look over the glasses.
We actually got a notice from the schools encouraging people not to look at the sun, like a warning for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was an eclipse, you know, across Wisconsin in 2017, like mm-hmm. we were saying, or across country, but you could see it in Wisconsin. And the thing I remember most about it was, you know, it doesn't get pitch black out by any stretch, but it's noticeably darker, and that you almost get a bit of a chill for a little bit. It's, you know, because the sun's mm-hmm. blocked out for several minutes. The birds immediately just, they don't sing as much as they used to. So I could see where people in olden days got a little freaked out about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening? Yep. So that's another thing with the animals. You know, mm-hmm. watch your animals outside or bring them in.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But the people who over the weekend, they were also comparing the fact that there was, you know, an earthquake centered in New Jersey, New York City, mm-hmm. back on like Thursday, Friday, and people saying, oh, you know, what's happening? All these things are starting to happen. The eclipse is not an accident, folks. We've known the date of this eclipse for a couple of hundred years, actually. It didn't just pop up. So there's not a, you know, there's not some kind of a karma-based reason why we are having an eclipse here. Because honestly, the people who are trying to make like some kind of political point about this, like, oh, it's an earthquake and an eclipse and it's all Joe Biden, like, you are not helping your own cause at all if you're trying to link those things together. Mark from the SAC calling in. I assume, Mark, about the eclipse. Good morning to you.
Yeah, about the eclipse and other, you know, celestial events. I mean, the priests in power used to, and the ancients used to use these events, you know, to, you know, maintain their power over the people. And that just kind of popped into my head thinking about it. But I mean, for goodness sakes, we know the track of this eclipse, how it's going to track across the country. That we know, you know, what time it's going to happen. So it's no cosmic unforeseeable that. You know, the gods are generating. It's a, you know, part of the, you know, the timing of the universe. I mean, for goodness sakes, but the Maya, I think, knew to calculate the transit of Venus, probably there's other eclipses as well. I mean, every year there's a solar eclipse that doesn't necessarily occur here across the United States, but it's occurring someplace, that as well as the lunar eclipses. I mean, it's just no, you know, God is not, you know, unless God is the timing of the universe in this particular case, that, you know, it's not God giving us a sign, you know, of the end times or anything like that. It is just as ridiculous for these people to try to be pulling this stuff in. But they've got their amen corner out there, you know, they're, you know, swallowing it and going, and it is just sad.
Well, keep in mind, Mark, science has really taken it on the chin these past 4 years or so. So the fact that they might not have caught that science was aware of this for hundreds of years really doesn't surprise me that much. Thank you, Mark. Enjoy the view. Have a great day there. All right. Almost forgot. I forgot about poor Robin Tigerton, who chimed in to say that it's cloudy there in 42. This week is Severe Weather Awareness Week. He says he's got a doctor appointment in Shawano, and then he's going to take a storm spotter class from the National Weather Service in Green Bay, his third year taking the class. And he adds parenthetically, I live in the 8th Congressional District, hoping to meet Kristen in Shawano County sometime.
Oh, Rob, we really want to be present in Shawano County. So send me a message, kristenforwisconsin.com. I would love to come out and visit and hear more and hang out with you in Tigerton.
Also, we got to tell Brittany that Rob is taking a storm spotter class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She'd love that.
Super interesting.
And what we were talking about in the last segment was you taking a master gardening class. And for folks who pay attention to the secret part of the show on Facebook during the radio commercial breaks and news, I mean, you got an exhaustive review of what is involved in this master gardening class. And you guys could not contain the excitement about how fun it is to learn about.
Apparently, we love our master gardener class.
Only you were exhausted by our conversation. We were energized. This is April. I don't know about you, Selena. I have been thumbing through my garden catalogs trying to decide what to plant in my tiny garden box.
Well, I know. And it's like I keep thinking, no, you can't do anything yet. No, not yet.
Oh, no. Over the weekend, Sherry had to go check out the tulips, you know, just to see if they were all ready to start popping up. That's her big thing, is when the tulips are coming up. But all the time, and I mentioned in the last hour, we're totally cleaning out the garage because we're doing this garage kind of makeover, you know, just putting up some drywall and things. And then we got to decide what's going back in. And the amount of bags of potting soil and grass seed and fertilizer, and then all the time a pot here, a pot there. I'm like, we have a lot of pot. Yeah, but we don't have a pot of this size. Okay. So then that gets added. And then she's like, well, I think this one's going to have to get a new pot. And I'll walk up and I'll point to a pot, like one of these maybe. Oh no. It's
gonna, right. gonna what are you doing, Pat? What are you doing?
Just helping her see that she might have forgotten.
I'm helping
in case the smartest woman I know got a sudden attack of amnesia that we already have 6,000 pots somewhere in the shed someplace. So
the right pot. It's got to be the right pot.
It's got to be the right color. Great. We have degenerated into a Cheech and Chong movie now about getting the right pot. That's just outstanding.
Now we're back to Wisconsin issues again.
Anyway, all counties in Wisconsin, you can take a master gardener class through the UW Extension. There.
And it's wonderful. And it's a way to give back to your community because there are community service hours that go along with the Master Gardener program. So it's really just Selena and I will be happy to vouch for you. It's a wonderful program.
That's awesome. In the Up North News Daily newsletter, Christina Laurie has a related article, Best Wisconsin Places for Stargazing. For all the rest of the year. So take a look at the newsletter for that. Also, an article from me about all the rural investments being made across Wisconsin through either the Biden administration or through Senator Tammy Baldwin or Governor Tony Evers. And there's a link to our earlier conversation about 2 weeks ago with Mitch Landrieu from the Biden campaign and his former chief advisor for infrastructure about all the investments that are being made in Wisconsin. The Brewers beat Seattle yesterday. They took 2 out of 3 games, winning 6-2. The Bucks are now on a 4-game losing streak with 4 left to play in the regular season. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Flood risk can change over time, and a community's flood insurance rate map shows how those risks could affect you. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has developed preliminary flood insurance rate maps for Washington County. FEMA also provides an appeals process for anyone with information that may change their flood hazard determination. To view maps, find your property's risk level, and details on the appeals process, please visit dnrwi.gov and search Washington County Flood Maps. This message is brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and FEMA.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, April 8th. Up North News Radio continues. Kristen Lyerly from Green Bay, Selena Heller from Eau Claire, Greg Bach from Waukesha, who put up a new title on the screen, Eclipse Enthusiast. Congratulations.
I am. Nice. I think it's interesting. It's fun. It's a moment. It's when people of all kinds, types, doesn't matter. You know nothing about them. You know, don't know who they vote for. At the appropriate time, we all just stop. Look up if we have the glasses and just wonder at it all. Mm-hmm. And then we move on.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
I also love that you threw in if we have the glasses. Thank you for that.
Please, dear God, have the glasses.
Jeez, please wear the glasses. By the way, I did not give you credit yet for the Roy Kent shirt that you're wearing today, which says
whistle. He was brilliant to watch. God, he was so funny.
So good. Ted Lasso stuff's never going to get old. Selena's working on a few different stories for Up North News. You can find her stories at upnorthnewswi.com or search for Up North News on social media. And one that we haven't covered here on the program yet is April being Hmong Heritage Month. There's a new law that's been signed about Wisconsin education and talking about Hmong history. So it's been rather noteworthy for Wisconsin's Hmong community to talk about recent events, Selena.
Oh, it has. And yeah, how exciting for them to be able to talk about how important that was for them. And just to have that now included in education, along with, you know, African-American history and the Native American history in the state. And just they do play an important role in our state. So the Hmong Americans are Wisconsin's largest Asian ethnic group in the state. And we have the third largest population, Hmong population in the country here in Wisconsin. We have about 58,000 Hmong Americans living in Wisconsin. And of course, they first arrived here from Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. And then they did a lot of things to help our cause here in the United States. And so they were seeking asylum to come here. And a lot of them, you know, did first settle here in Wisconsin. And so we are hoping there's been a lot of progress since that time. We have a lot of organizations and things. I know we always talked with the Hmong Mutual Association here in Eau Claire, just yes, about all sorts of things that they were doing. And so,
well, and as well in the Wausau area, I'm sure in the Green Bay area too, I noted that over the weekend, Marathon County Supervisor and DC Everest School Board member Yi Lang Zhang announced he's running for the assembly, mm-hmm, in the 85th seat in Marathon County, something that Republican incumbent Pat Snyder does not live in, but said he would move into the district if he were to win that race. And Kristen, I know the Hmong community extremely active in the, you know, in Northeast Wisconsin as well.
They sure are. And I think that Lee's story was featured in the New York Times over the weekend as well. You know, here in Green Bay, I believe, and, you know, don't quote me on this, I believe that we have a re-energized, reinvigorated Hmong Community Center that's pulling things together this month. And I know down in Appleton, same story, a very active Hmong community. So I am really looking forward, as a candidate and somebody who lives here, to spending some time with these folks who I went to high school with. I mean, in Kakana, we had a vibrant Hmong community. So just being able to acknowledge and recognize this important part of our community and, you know, elevate our neighbors. Love that.
Yeah. And so it was one of many candidate announcements for legislature. And I really should have had a spreadsheet handy to start tracking all of them that are coming in, because I didn't want to hit them onesie twosie. So we'll start to amass the number of candidates that have announced just since say Thursday or so for all these various legislative seats. New districts will do that, Kristen. You give people something more competitive and they're going to want to participate.
It's wild. I know that you've heard me say this before, but 2 years ago in the last cycle up in the 8th Congressional District, a third of the seats went totally unchallenged. No Democrats ran because nobody felt like they had a path. But now that we have new maps, new competitive maps, we've got candidates in every single seat. And that's great for democracy. That's great for the people. That gives us an opportunity to research, to learn who best represents my values and who is going to be my voice down in Madison. We couldn't be more excited up here.
All right, so let's get to your little new effort that you've got going on. You announced here on the show on Thursday. You mentioned making a trip to a couple of places. What is the life? I know the answer, having been here, but what is the life of a newly announced congressional candidate like? In other words, are you locked in a room fundraising for 22 or 23 hours a day, or what exactly is happening there?
Well, you know, money and politics are so deeply entangled with each other, so there is a lot of fundraising. But I do a lot of work in the community anyway, and I love getting out and talking with people. So my life, you know, launch day was pretty crazy, but my life hasn't really changed all that much. I'm still here with you this morning. I got to go down to Madison yesterday and pick up on some of the work that we had started in December, where we brought together a group of pro-life activists and pro-choice activists as we tried to figure out what could we do to support moms and babies and families. And man, that is just eye-opening, hearing different people's perspectives about how we can solve these problems. We came up with some pretty good solutions working with the Starts With Us organization. So you'll be hearing more about that in the future. And I think the most important part about that effort is that it's about finding common ground, knowing that we started from a place where we were in different camps, but we were able to find that common ground to be able to move forward together. That's where Wisconsin is right now. That's what we really want to see, and that's where we're going to take it.
Now, I'm over on this part of the state, so I may have missed it, but I'd like to think I'm fairly well plugged in to, you know, news and press releases and things as they come out. And I guess I would have expected either the state Republican Party or somebody to, you know, try to basically unload a dump truck on you in terms of, you know, negative talking points and things. I don't know that I actually saw any attacks or negative publicity. Did you get any pushback at, you know, over the weekend or at you know, upon your announcement?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure it's coming. It's going to be an ugly race. I mean, I am a woman. I'm an OBGYN doctor. I talk openly about abortion care and how it fits into healthcare. And I know that that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and that's okay. But yeah, I'm sure it's coming. They've been pretty busy, though. They're queuing up for a big announcement of their own today. So I've been hearing. So, you know,
about
stay
the race.
Tuned. Yeah, I think that another Republican candidate is about to announce his candidacy. We saw it in Donald Trump's social media yesterday. Unfortunately, Trump misspelled his last name, so that's not a great way to start.
But I saw that. I thought, were we misspelling it on Friday? Was it? It's either weed or wed or wide. I don't know.
It's weed, W-I-E-D, but Donald Trump spelled it W-I-E-L-D, and he did it twice.
Well, if you just have a cup of cafefe with him, I'm sure they could work that out.
You know. Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's about to get very interesting. But, you know, like I said earlier, we're here for the people. We're having these conversations. We're trying to solve some problems. This is going to be a real fighting Bob La Follette kind of campaign, and I am so here for it.
Nice. All right. And Selena, you are working on some other stories this week. We'll probably get some audio next week about some of the stories you're doing.
Yes, I rode along on an electric bus last week.
School bus?
The school bus, yep. The school district of Mondovi got some buses. And in Augusta, they got electric buses on Friday. So we're getting electric school buses across the state due to the Biden infrastructure law and money coming from the EPA. So they want to have some cleaner buses. Across the country.
Hey, take a look at that over at upnorthnewswi.com, upnorthnewswi on social. In the coming days, more coming up after this, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. She came over, I lost
my nerve. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is April Fool's Day. Did you fall for any jokes today, Conrad?
Well, I guess I did fall for one, but it was unfair because it happened last week.
Yeah, what
Hot dog water from 7-Eleven.
We both fell for that, but it's not even... It's like, after the Kurter Burger, I'll believe anything. I could believe it was hot dog water, and that was like March 26th. That's so lame.
They actually did make it, though.
Good.
You got some people to actually drink it.
Suckers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's not just people paying attention to today's total eclipse. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. There are beekeepers across the United States that will be monitoring their hives as well. We explain next.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it...
Oh! Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No.
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Scientists, researchers, and the general public are going to be paying attention to animals' reaction to the total eclipse today. Some of those include beekeepers. Wayne Stiegelman is one of those. He's a hobby beekeeper from Brown County and says that beekeepers across the United States want to see what their little partners are going to do when the total eclipse occurs.
They're working with the UW La Crosse. And they are putting what's called BDARs, that's what measures the activity inside and outside the hive. They want to put as many as they can in the line of total eclipse totality. And I think it's from Texas going up to the northwest because bees can't fly in the dark. So when it gets dark and especially totally black, they want to see what happens to the bees. In fact, they're even asking people with observation hives to watch.
Wayne Stiegelman, he's a hobby beekeeper up in Brown County who will be watching his bees to see what they do today during the total eclipse. If you want to see some of the information or locations for their BDARs that are already in place across the United States, go to broodminder.com. They say they'll continue to monitor the bees' activities through April 11th.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And congratulations to the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association on a very successful bull sale that was happening on Saturday down at UW-Platteville Pioneer Prairie Farm and online. They sold 55 bulls, average sale price $4,835 per animal, $700 higher than the previous year. That's just a quick snapshot of what's happening in food news on a Monday. More available anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. Don't forget to sign up for our daily e-newsletter. I'm Farm Director PM Yonke.
The Shaw, WAUK.
A few scattered clouds through around midday today, then mostly sunny this afternoon. We'll get to 62 today with wind out of the southwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, a sprinkle or two, otherwise partly cloudy, 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 60. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 58. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he's having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, hey, guys, can I get a dunk? Somebody throws him the ball. He runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know?
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
this day in 1999, Shania Twain's third album, Come On Over, was certified diamond, making her the first female artist to have two diamond albums in a row. But I'll tell you what, Greg, if I'd have been thinking, I would have had you throw something else on instead, because here's a big announcement from the old guy. For the first time in I can't remember how long, while watching Saturday Night Live, I always watch it the next day, I did not fast forward through the musical guest.
Oh, she was incredible.
Her name was Ray, single name, R-A-Y-E. And, you know, Sherry and I, we'd never hear of half of these groups anymore, you know, just because. But I'm letting this play. And I right away, of course, I reach for my phone, like, who is this person? Come to realize it's not just me. She's not like some well-established person. She just got the Best New Artist British equivalent of a Grammy. So she's relatively new on the scene.
That's the Juno.
What's that?
You said Canadian or British?
British.
Never mind. I don't know.
Anyway, she was really good.
She was. When they first did that little preview that they do and she was just standing on stage getting ready to perform, I thought, well, she has a really unique look. She had this very like retro, classy look, and her voice.
That's also her style.
Yes, it was so unique and beautiful and compelling.
There was a lot of scat in it, which I thought was really great. You know, it's not bebop, it's not doo-wop, and it's but however you want to describe it, it's just very, like you said, retro. And you know, the band did a great job along with her, and I was just really impressed. So, Ray, that's one where we're gonna go, oh yeah. Pat actually heard of somebody back before they became too established.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah, good for me. Kristen, you mentioned in your congressional run, the abortion issue, of course, is going to be front and center. Well, over the weekend, former President Trump was promising a new position on abortion or a new statement or something, because he's trying to have it, you know, multiple ways. Well, he's put out a statement this morning saying that abortion laws should be left to the states to decide, and he declined to support a national ban on abortion. That would be news for normal people, but given Trump's, you know, record with saying one thing and doing another, I call BS on him saying that he doesn't support a national ban on abortion. It's in the Project 2025 document. And you know what it reminds me of, Kristen, is when Scott Walker all the time said, oh, I'm not really here for union busting rules. I'm not really here for that. But as soon as they came up, boy, he signed those puppies as soon as he could. Trump's not trustworthy on this.
Past performance indicates future behavior. I don't trust him on this. It's like listening to Eric Hovde talk about abortion. He was very clear in the past about what his values were and what he would promote. But now that they know it's not cool and it's not gaining traction with voters, they're saying other things, but we know that that's not what they're going to do. And, you know, as you said, he has it documented in Project 2025. We know where the path is, and he can say whatever he wants, but that path is still going to be there regardless of what happens. And if he gets elected, he has every reason to initiate that trigger.
Oh, without a doubt. And this is somebody who for weeks now, if not months, has, and I think of you every time he does this, where he kind of goes back and forth on, he just like plucks a number out of the air. Well, it might be a 15-week ban, it might be a 16-week ban, it might be a 14-week ban, you know, definitely not the 6-week ban on abortion. Kristen, what do you always say about these arbitrary numbers when it comes to abortion bans? What are they rooted in?
Well, it's just meaningless. I mean, right. It's all political. When I talk with my patients, they're not thinking about this. They're thinking about what are my needs? What are my circumstances? What are my options? And what's the best choice for me? Not a number. It's ridiculous. Like, politicians just need to not be making these decisions for us. And we need to have the ability to make these decisions for ourselves. We need access. We need providers in areas where we can access them. We need support. We need resources. We don't need somebody telling us what we can and cannot do. We need freedom. We need our own freedom.
So in a video posted to his tiny social media site, he said, "My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint. The states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state." In other words, he's endorsing the checkerboard approach. He says, "Many states will be different. Many states will have different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what it will be." He said again that he's strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother, and he also reiterated his support for access to in vitro fertilization, as Kristen, so many Republican politicians are saying. But again, that's what you say, but what have you done? You've put your name on bills and proposals that would get rid of IVF or threaten it.
That's right. They don't actually care about our families who are building their families through IVF, and they don't understand all the steps here. It's just a political pawn for them. And this happens to be, these are the words that they're going to use right now to trick us into voting for them. And then they're going to turn around and turn their backs on families, on women, on people who are wanting healthy families. We're not falling for it. Those of us who understand that our personal freedoms belong to us, not them. They cannot take away our freedoms and make our decisions for us. This is not information that can be legislated. This is information that these are decisions that need to be left up to us.
Look how well you said that compared to me just saying, well, he says that, but he's lying. You know, because look, we have to have conversations with our neighbors, and some of those neighbors are going to say, well, Trump said this recently, so that's where he is, right? And it's up to the rest of us to kind of point it out in a friendly way like you did.
Haven't you noticed, though, that even Trump supporters will say, you know, he says this and I really don't like it because it makes me uncomfortable, but they feel like they're obligated to vote for him because he's the Republican guy. And, you know, I would ask our friends and neighbors to just really think about what's important to you, because this is a really important election. And vote the way that you feel compelled to vote, but make a thoughtful decision and really dig into it. There's a lot at stake here and it will affect you. And could we just pivot for a second? You were talking earlier about Social Security and some of the messaging that he was sharing over the weekend. Social Security has been in danger for a long time, and we have not solved that problem. And now we're at the point where it is truly in danger of going away. For those of us who've been paying in our entire lives and we're expecting that benefit to be there, we need it to be there. We don't need the game to change at the whim of some very wealthy people for political reasons.
He met or had a big fundraiser over the weekend with lots of millionaire and billionaire donors. And one of the things he talked about was, you know, supporting, keeping in place the tax breaks for the very wealthy that are slated to expire pretty soon here from the 2017 tax bill. And a lot of the people that he had at his fundraiser over the weekend have spoken in the past about their support for privatizing Social Security. It used to be that we all the time heard talk of, well, Social Security is in danger of, you know, going away because it's insolvent, and it never was. You could always find a way to fix it. But now it's in danger of going away simply because of this political pressure from the very wealthy, parroting talking points that have long since been debunked.
Mm-hmm. And this is our Social Security. Like, we've been counting on this. So to know that they are literally playing games with our futures when we need them the most, when we need these dollars the most, it's just disappointing. Doesn't even begin to capture it. Like, give me a good word, Pat. It's a betrayal. It is a betrayal of a system that we have trusted and rely on.
Yeah, without a doubt. Over the weekend, there was a story from the Associated Press about the campaign that focused on two different women who have been sharing their firsthand accounts of the growing medical peril that many women face when it comes to abortion restrictions. There was a Texas woman who went into premature labor, developed sepsis, and nearly died, and a Louisiana woman who said restrictive abortion laws prevented her from getting medical help for a miscarriage. And they are now actively campaigning for President Biden. And I think that there may have been a time in the past where somebody would have said, well, is that kind of unsightly or unseemly, you know, that these women are now, you know, on the campaign trail. I think it really comes back to something you and I have been talking about, is that we've been too polite in the conversation about what risks women face long enough.
None of us want to talk about this. These are our deeply held personal situations, but politics has gotten us to the point where we have to tell these stories. Remember, 1 in 4 women in their lifetime will have an abortion, and 99% of women who are sexually active will use contraception at some time in their lives. But we're not talking about this in general public, because these are our lives. These are our personal healthcare decisions. But politicians have forced us into having these conversations. I don't love talking about abortion all the time. I love talking about my kids. I love talking about the great things that are happening in our communities. I love elevating small businesses and working towards solving problems. But we've got to talk about this, because if we don't, we're going to lose everything. We're not going to have the ability to make decisions, and we're going to be stuck in these terrible cycles of poverty and inability to access the futures that we all want to see for ourselves and for our children. So we're fighting for it. And out of necessity, we're having to have these conversations. So, hey, let's band together, get this problem solved, and then we won't have to talk about it anymore.
Because you'd rather talk about your boys. And that reminds me, for folks listening going, hey, wait a minute, it's Monday. Where are the Motherhood for Good people? The Motherhood for Good people have taken a hike over to Thursday, which is where Kristen had been running the Women Win Wisconsin segment. And now with Kristen, running for Congress, we thought, well, we don't want that segment to go away, because there are still all kinds of women that we can, again, lift up and tell you what they're doing in their communities. And I thought that was really cool that Kate and Danielle and Nicole and the others from Motherhood for Good said, hey, we could do that.
They were super excited about picking up the segment, because they see what's happening across the state. We're seeing women like Renee Peplum and Alicia Saunders and Kelly Peterson, who have never run for office before, but have always invested in their community. We're seeing them recognize that they can make a difference on a whole different level. And to be able to promote them and work with them and help them find that path to victory is really exciting. All these fellow moms banding together to make sure that we can see the future that we want for our kids. Like, how do you even look your kids in the eye these days, knowing what we're doing to the climate and how we're really struggling with water, not just in the 8th Congressional District, but like across the country? There are so many problems that we can solve, but we have to do it together. And nobody does it like moms.
So for this particular mom, yeah, your boys were there at the announcement on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Since that time, have they been like, mom, we don't want to do that anymore. Stop. We'll do the first one, but that's it. But I got a feeling that wasn't the case, because you had one who was doing an event for other 18-year-olds out there. They seem to be rather all in on this.
They grew up with me. They know.
Well, I should hope so.
No, you know, it was really funny. My oldest son, Abe, who is now a public school elementary music teacher, adorable, down in the southeastern part of the state, he came up for the announcement, and he had been my campaign manager when I ran for assembly in 2020. He immediately shifted into campaign mode, because it was all hands on deck. It was crazy. We were getting phone calls and media requests, and it was just nuts. And he just like jumped right in, and he is probably the most enthusiastic. Like, he's like, how can I help from Milwaukee? But, you know, my other boys, too, are Julian is helping with behind the scenes stuff, because he is not an in front of the camera kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Lindsay is an in front of the camera kind of guy. He's like, give me as much camera time as possible. So he's the one. We delayed our event to May 7th. So we're doing an event where we're highlighting all of our 18-year-old sons who are going to be voting for the first time and the things that they care about. So that'll be downtown Appleton on May 7th. More news to come about that. And then, of course, there's little Pat Kreitlow, my youngest, James, who is giving me, he's sharing like messaging advice, and he is just the most delightful. My kids, I just am so blessed.
Look at you. You're swooning over there. You're swooning. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Well, it was good to catch up on all the early phases of it. So enjoy it. Enjoy the travels. And we'll be checking in again real soon, because we got a little ways to go here. If you're ready, you got your running shoes, you got your marathon shoes on?
Always. All right. And if our listeners are interested, KristenForWisconsin.com. Come and check us out.
There you go. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, babe.
Coming up next, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you need to know to start the week. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Tomorrow in our 7 o'clock hour, my one-on-one interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin that we taped a few days back, talking not just about the race for a third term and accomplishments in office, but also a bit more, several personal questions about her upbringing and, how the valedictorian from a Madison high school ends up being a U.S. senator who represents people from walks of life, she was not familiar with earlier, especially rural Wisconsin, things like that. So tune into that tomorrow during the 7 a.m. hour. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you need to know to start the week. Terry, you're a little under the weather there. How you doing?
Coming out of it. I cough here and there, please be patient.
Honestly, this thing is, that some people have had. Now, I was sick. It had to be a month ago now, but I know people can still hear it. There's still like a scratch in my throat where I've got to cough occasionally. Whatever this thing is, it's weird. I don't like it. I'm ready for it to move on at any point here. So I hope that happens with you. All right. Clearly, the first thing you need to know is that President Biden is once again showing Wisconsin the value of their voters by talking about ways he's going to try to make life easier for a few Wisconsin families and American families as well.
Well, he's going to try and take another stab at student loan forgiveness. You might remember, I think it was as recently as last year, the president tried to have widespread sweeping student loan forgiveness for borrowers who were under a lot of debt. That was ultimately struck down by the courts. What we're told we're going to hear today is a proposal that's more narrowly focused and available for people who can show some need or some hardship. And they think that will probably have a better chance of holding up in court. As going into the future, is that will likely be challenged?
Yeah, because basically these are just like slices of everybody with student loan debt, and these various slices, these targeted groups. From what I understand, the White House is thinking is these targeted groups are legal to single out under existing law, compared to like we were saying, a very broad swath apparently did not sit well with the way the law is written currently, at least as interpreted by the Supreme Court. So as they look at some of these segments, one of these segments was people whose interest is still higher than the amount of principal they have paid in. That is, I don't know if predatory is the right word there, but it is, it's soul crushing. Like anybody would know if anybody that's had a mortgage or car payments or anything, or credit card bill, and you see that interest number climbing, and your principal, you're paying off so very little of it. That's something anybody would like a little relief from.
Oh, absolutely. And then people get themselves in a situation, they take forbearances out, and which means you get a few months off from having to make payments, but the meter is still running on the interest. Mm-hmm. And when you resume payments, you're still on the hook for all of that interest that's accrued while you took a break from making payments.
Yeah. So we'll hear more about that from the president at MATC a little bit later on today. Over the weekend, an anniversary of sorts, the conflict between Israel and Hamas throughout Gaza is now 6 months old. 6 months since those attacks in October, and I don't think there's necessarily an end in sight in the next 6 months as well. But that's just my guess.
There doesn't seem to be. There are talks about a ceasefire, but it doesn't sound like they are going to go very. There's not a lot of optimism for these talks. Yeah, that ambush attack on the music festival last October. In all, more than 33,000 people dead. And again, there are talks about trying to get a ceasefire. But, you know, this also has impacts politically here at home, here in Wisconsin. 48,000 Democrats in the primary last week voted uninstructed as a way to send a message to President Biden about his policy in that region. So, the story has gotten bigger and appears to likely to be getting bigger.
And by the way, any kind of an aid package for Israel, along with any kind of an aid package for Ukraine, that has been in a state of gridlock for this entire 6 months. There's been nothing that passed because Republicans for a time said, well, no Ukraine aid until there's, you know, a border bill. But then they killed the border bill. So it was no Ukraine aid unless it's tied to Israel aid. And other people just wanted them to be separate. But if you separate them, they're not necessarily going to get the votes to pass. You might get the votes if you combine Ukraine aid and Israel aid in one bill. But now, as this war is dragged on, even that might not get enough votes to pass. And so I don't envy anybody who's still actually trying to get a comprehensive aid package done in an election year with these conflicts. It's Sisyphusian, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, for sure. It's just absolutely a terrible situation all around.
All right, let's get to something much lighter, and that is again the continuing growth in women's sports, the popularity, the TV ratings, the participation, the money that's involved in the fall season. We talked about women's volleyball, then we talked about women's hockey, and now when we talk about women's basketball, the ratings and the attention for yesterday's championship game, just stratospheric.
Boy, women's college basketball is the hottest property in sports right now. 14.2 million people saw the semifinal game between Iowa and UConn on Friday night, which broke the old record, which was just set back on Monday. That game also involved the Iowa Hawkeyes and LSU. So we still are waiting for the numbers from yesterday's championship game. If Friday's was 14.2 million, you can assume it'll be at least a little bit bigger. But even, at 14.2 million, the numbers we saw on Friday, this according to a post on X, and this puts it in perspective, if you will, Pat. 14.2 million is more than every single World Series game last year, wow. More than every NBA Finals game last year, more than every Daytona 500 since 2013, more than every Masters final round since 2013, and more than every college football game last year except for five.
Wow. And you can really tell that that's the case because Saturday Night Live made a big deal about it, a skit where, again, the guys, covering the men's tournament were like, yeah, we're not even watching these games. We're watching the women's game because that's where the names and the popularity are. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Appreciate it. Have a great day out there. Tomorrow, again, we'll be talking to Senator Tammy Baldwin. And then on Wednesday, our regular visit with Congressman Mark Pocan. And we will also be talking to Capitol Police Officer Michael Fanone, one of those officers injured in the January 6th attack. That's coming up on Wednesday. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for joining us here up north. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Tune in Monday. Very special Devils Advocates Radio Show. President Joe Biden coming to my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin. You better tune in. Devils Advocates will bring you all the coverage.
If it's your turn to host a game, Grandpa's Barbecue suggests you try something different. Put out the perfect barbecue flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. Add it to your ribs, dip the meatballs, or drench your wings in the original flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. It isn't too hot or spicy, fruity or smoky or whatever. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. As the clock ticks down to that total solar eclipse, clouds are forming along much of its path.
West Virginia. West